I'm Craig Johnson. Welcome to our podcast. For this week's message or any of the messages in our archive, subscribe for free on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Bethel Christian Fellowship is a church that relies on the support of its community. We consider you a part of that community, and we would love for you to participate in our financial life. You can do that at our website, drcraigjohnson.org. Whether you're new to this space or a regular pod listener, we're glad you're here. We believe that this message will bring you hope, encouragement, and guidance. God bless you. I have two words this morning. We'll begin our Advent series of Christmas sermons next week. But this morning, I have Esther 4:14, and I have a beautiful word, two words, deliverance and enlargement. Let me read the text. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. The King James says deliverance and enlargement will arise from another place. But you and your family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. I just want you to focus on two words, deliverance and enlargement. The book is the book of Esther. If you remember the story of Esther, Esther is chosen to be the queen of the Persian Empire. And along with that responsibility, God strategically places her next to the king because there's a wicked man named Haman who is out to destroy the entire work of God. Did you know in every generation there's a spirit of Haman released to try to destroy the people of God? When Moses and his birth was prophesied, the spirit of Pharaoh sought to kill all of the newborn children. It's the spirit that pops up here through Haman. And at the time of the Lord Jesus and his birth, remember, it was the spirit of Herod that went out to kill Jesus. Now, did Pharaoh get Moses? No. Did Haman get God's people? No. Did Herod get the Lord Jesus? No, he got some, but he didn't get him. God knows how to hide. And when he hides you, you're hidden, and the enemy can't find you. By the way, let me just mention something I always like to remember to mention. Satan cannot read your mind. He is a creature. He is a fallen creature. Never place him up on the shelf with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There is the Holy Triune God and an infinite gulf and creatures. And he's only ever been a creature. He came to be. He's a caused kind of being. And caused beings can't read your mind. He can put thoughts in and read you by your reaction. But don't you ever think he can read your mind. He doesn't know what you're thinking. He's a creature. And when you're under the greatest attack of your life, just simply say, I just want to remind you, you're only a creature. It's all you are. You'll never be more. You're locked in the category of finitude. Sorry. See, he doesn't ever want to be laughed at, and he doesn't ever want to be reminded he's just a creature. Okay, that's just for fun. So Haman is trying to destroy the people of God. And Esther's relative says, Esther, you have a strategic opportunity. All of you, we're moving into a new season where we all have a strategic opportunity in our unique spheres of influence to impact men, women, boys, and girls for the glory of God. And it's important that we prepare going into the next year to seize the opportunities, take advantage of the moments, and go through the doors that God opens for each of us. Because you can reach people I cannot reach. There are folks that will listen to you that my voice is nails on a chalkboard, and vice versa. We all have a sphere of influence. Esther had a unique sphere of influence, and Mordecai was just reminding her, honey, don't think you can sit this one out and have absolutely no influence. She had direct influence with the king himself. And so she did go and risked her own life. And you know the story. Go ahead and read the book. Haman builds a scaffold so big to hang Mordecai, the man of God, and he winds up hanging on the scaffold. Didn't you notice in this time that there's a lot of folk building scaffolds and they wind up hanging on them? It's a trend. Get used to it. And for your life, two words, deliverance and enlargement. Deliverance. And enlargement. Isn't that what we're all looking for when we pray? We want deliver. Lord, deliver me from this, and I'll never ask for another thing. Lord, get me out of this. I know you got me out of that, but Lord, just get me out of this one more time. Every time we pray, we're praying for deliverance. But God loves to bring a process. We want a sudden relief, but God sometimes trusts us enough to put us in a process, which becomes the catalyst to the next level of our life. We're going to look at deliverance and enlargement. Whenever God delivers you from something, he enlarges your sphere of influence. See, we want to pray all trouble away. God doesn't pray all trouble away. He didn't keep all trouble away. Have you noticed? But here's the question. He can't trust everyone to endure a deliverance from a hard situation, a crushing of the olive that would produce the oil, a crushing of the grape that would produce the wine, a crushing of that little grain to make the bread. Loved one, a lot of people say they're in for the things of God, but once there's a price tag attached to it. Now, salvation is absolutely free. Praise God. It was expensive. It was free. But everything else in the kingdom costs something. Everything else in the kingdom depends on how we handle deliverance in order that we might get to enlargement. I'm talking to some people who have been in a place thinking, this is never going to end. I'm in an impossible situation. I am stuck, Craig. Look, stuck up in the Greek. And that's me. Have you ever just felt stuck in a mode of life, in a position, in an addiction, in a place, in a zone, in a financial status, in a stuck? It's impossible. You're never going to get out. Well, God loves to show up on the scene and bring deliverance and through it, enlargement. Every time you survive a crisis, your sphere of influence opens up. Now, I'm just going to throw a few examples at you this morning of deliverance and enlargement. The first one is 1 Samuel 17:36. Remember the story of King David, little King David? David's a teenager. And one day, as a shepherd of his father's sheep, a lion comes at him. A lion, the king of beasts. And David takes this lion with his bare hands and he kills it. Now, most of us would have been praying as we ran. The lion would only see shirt tails. David stood his ground and said, these aren't even my sheep, but these are my responsibility. The sheep belong to my father. But you or I are going to die, lion. David kills the lion, but I want you to notice something. Now, most of us wouldn't survive that. We'd have a stroke in process. Thank God there's no selfies back then. So the lion comes, the lion assaults and attacks. David survives the encounter, and all of a sudden, he has an enlargement that enters his life. All of a sudden, he has credibility with all the shepherds. All the shepherds hear about David. News travels fast, good or bad. Did you hear about David? What? He killed a lion. No, he didn't. He's a teenager. With his bare hands. You know, stories get bigger with the telling, right? The old fish stories. It was this big, you know. But in a moment of crisis that we would be in shock about, David not only met the crisis, God delivered him, but as he was delivered from the lion, God enlarged his territory, he enlarged his reputation, and every shepherd in the area knew about David. Did you know it? People are watching how you succeed and how you fail. People are watching how you live and how you die. Can you endure deliverance and the process attending it in order for God to enlarge your credibility? Do you know you've been through hell? Some of you have been through 10 years of hell that has nothing to do with you. God sees something in you that he'd like to squeeze out for me. So he places you in a situation where you require the deliverance only God can give, and you don't die, although you think you're going to die, and you come through alive. But notice deliverance is always tagged with enlargement. All of a sudden, you have a credibility that no one else has. We call the difference between sympathy and empathy. Sympathy is, oh, the poor sap. Empathy is, I've been there. I know exactly how this goes. Man, when you've been in divorce court, you can just see guys. I'm with you, baby. I know you don't need a 12-step group. You just look in them all. I see that look. It's a look. You've been through physical pain and intense struggles. You see it in other people. But here's the good news. When you're a servant of the Lord, he'll deliver you, but after the process, he's going to enlarge your reputation. David kills one lion. He survives that impossible situation. Now he's got street cred with all the shepherds at the shepherd conferences. They want him to come. and tell the story again.
Well, he approached me slowly.
You know, you can see David in front of the fire telling the story. Well, that's not enough. Then the text says, a bear came out after David. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been too close to a bear. The North American black bear comes in three colors, cinnamon, black, and brown. Comes out February 1st, goes back the last day of November, and every day it is out of hibernation, has to have 20,000 calories to survive. Some of you identify with the bear. The point is, in the things of God, this huge, this is a bear, folks. This isn't some picture of a bear you saw in kindergarten. And again, it threatens the sheep that aren't even David's. They belong to Daddy. These are Jesse's sheep. But David risks his own life in fulfilling the mandate of responsibility that it has. Are you willing to risk your own life at the job you're at? It's not your company, but you're willing to lay your life down for the furtherance and the benefit of those that are employing you. Wow! That'll make you stand out a bit. Instead of complaining all day, say, gosh, there's a threat to the company. I may have to die today. Well, thank God for hyperbole, but a lion comes at him, he survives that and is delivered from that, and his reputation is enlarged with all the shepherds. Secondly, the bear comes out and tries to kill him, and he takes him by the beard and kills him. Dude, that doesn't happen without God, but God. And you can't get out of this situation, but God. You're stuck where you are and it's impossible, but God. See, it's not about you. It's not about me. We're real easily stuck folk. But God, that's what we always say. I always tell Grant, we do not deny reality in this house. We tell it as bad as it is, but we always end every statement of truth with but God. It's not fairy tale thinking. It's not fairy dust and magic wands. It's Bible. And for this entire Advent season, we're going to see why we can say, but God. Because God incarnate, second person of the Trinity, struck a tent in human flesh and went to the depth of the death of the cross for you. And rose triumphantly from the dead to secure your salvation. So we can say, but God, at the end of everything. It's worse than you thought. They hate you more than you think they do. But God. Deliverance and enlargement. See, we want to avoid, the olive wants to stay intact, uncrushed, you know, and go to the olive massage place and be brushed with olive oil, crushed through other olives. Could I have some more oil, please? Certainly. But see, you can't stay intact without a deliverance in order to get enlargement. You know, but we're always praying, right, for deliverance. Lord, deliver me. Get me out of this, number one. Number two, make me famous, enlarge my coast. Doing this now. I'm sorry, wait a minute. First the deliverance, then the survival of the deliverance, and then all of a sudden, David has street cred killing the lion with all the shepherds. Now he has street cred killing a bear with all his brothers. Remember, he's the eighth son. He has seven brothers. Six brothers and one sister, I think. His brothers don't like him that well, but they can't sort of put down that they're going and getting a stein of beer at the bar and talking about their brother. Hey, my little brother killed a bear. I hate the little guy, but yeah. And you imagine David in his tent, you know, I'm sure he had a lion skull and a bear skull, and soon the head of Goliath, which the Bible says he carried around by the hair. 9.5 feet tall. Giant. Spear as big as a weaver's beam. And the Bible says he wouldn't put the head down. Probably went to the tent and stuck it next to the bear skull. Where should I put that? Asking opinions. Should the lion go to the bear, be in the middle, and we'll put the Goliath on? Don't know. Loved one, you have to get past where you are right now, and you're going to get past where you are right now because God has something better for you. You're going to get past this. Weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You're going to get past this. But because of God, not because of you and your moral character. Lord have mercy. Where's that crucifix I got at St. Peter's? When we get a parking space, I say, it was my personal holiness that secured that. Brooke looks for lightning. Every time we get past a crisis, our influence is expanded. Do you see that? Lion's dead, but the shepherds know the story. Bear dies. His brothers start going, well, this kid is something. No wonder he's anointed to be the next king. And third, Goliath of Gath, the main Philistine enemy of the people of God, 9.5 feet tall. I mean, this guy's got 365 pounds of armor. Oh, David's a little teenage boy, and he has a stone. Isn't that God's economy? You have a little stone in your, what have you had in your purse? Remember Charlie Brown? Always went to Halloween. What'd you get? I got a sandwich. I got a dinner. What'd you get? I got a rock. Remember? Charlie Brown always got a rock. When he went. Doesn't matter what anybody else got. I got a Twinkie. I got 6 pounds of licorice. What'd you get, Charlie Brown? A rock. Yeah. Well, some of you feel like you just have a rock in your pocket or a rock in your purse. And it's actually harmless in your eyes. But did you know your unique talents and abilities and gifts are a threat to the enemy? Because if God anoints your little bitty talent, you may have a talent of smiling with one tooth. That's deadly when the anointing of God's on that tooth. I'm not kidding. Your little thing, your little stone, your whatever it was. Whatever you have, it's unconventional to attack a man wearing 365 pounds of armor with a rock. You want to look for a little more, maybe a mallet or a cutting knife. Or I dropped one in my foot the other day. Ever had that? Have you had that happen? I'm in the kitchen and the knife goes right in my right foot. And I'm looking at it. And I'm thinking the sword and the stone. The sword and the stone. I think of weird stuff. And then I see the blood starting to come out and it's feeling a little wet under my feet. That's, oh, Lord Jesus. Well, how did I get into that? Well, maybe that's a, yeah. It seems more threatening than a stone. Not when it's in my foot, secure and safe. That was terrible, by the way. So you see the progression? Lion, he's delivered from it. He comes out with a testimony. God enlarges his testimony with the shepherds. The bear, he survives it. Testimony with his brothers is amped up. Goliath, now he says, he comes into Saul's tent, the king, and he says, Saul, who's going to take this guy down? You know, it's new Christians are obnoxious. Because they really have faith and confidence that we've lost like 15 years ago. Who shall offend? Who, I'm offended. Oh, shut up. Go back to your Bible study. Go back to your Awana class. You know, that's what mature dead Christians think. Come on, little chain smoking chihuahua. Go somewhere else with your light and your faith. Well, little David says, I'm not going to stand for this. I'll go up against him. Now, I want you to notice what happens next. What the text says, that Saul puts his armor on David. He's probably 15 years old. Saul is head and shoulders taller than any warrior in the nation. And he's trying to put his armor on David. Loved one, you can look up to people, you can honor people, you can respect a ministry, but don't ever want to be someone other than you. Be you. In this season of deliverance and enlargement, you're going to be delivered and you're going to come through to a new enlargement because of you doing you. We have everybody else. We have one of everybody. We only have one of you. The anointing's on you. As feeble and broken and crazy as you may be, the anointing that's on you is not is different than mine. Craig has a different anointing to be Craig, and you don't want it. Trust me. And I don't want yours. But you see, in the sphere of influence God puts you in, the crushing has produced valuable things. And God is in this season, ain't going into this next year. He's bringing you from deliverance to enlargement. He is increasing and expanding your personal influence. It's happening right now around you. accept it, because that's how you need to realize when you're at the mall. If you were a celebrity and you knew that everybody was looking at you, you probably would have a game face. You'd probably smile like Pastor Joel or something that you, when you're driving, because the kids have told me I have a passive hate face when I drive. Grant's friend Cameron said, Mr. Johnson, we love you, but we honk the horn and we come up next to you and we wave and you have this passive hate face. You drive as though you hate. I'm the nicest guy you're ever going to want to meet, but I was totally unaware that I have a passive hate face when I drive. Now I intentionally. I'm not kidding. I get in the car and I remember I'm in Houston. Yeah. And I'm really working on it. Some of you need to work on your thing too. My mother, I think I got it from my mother. My mother had a passive death face. My mother, we used to work in an apartment. My mother worked at an apartment complex when I was 16. And she greeted everyone that came in. And they'd come in, now those of you listening can't see, but she'd come in and my mother, Merle Johnson, would go, yes? And we go, Mom! She was completely unaware of it like you are. See, I'm looking at your life. You're looking through your life. I can see you in a way you can't see yourself. You're looking through your glasses. I'm looking at your glasses. So I see your passive hate face, death face, disgust face. So anyway, let's work on that. That's enough. Let me move on. Oh, Lord, deliverance and enlargement. Someone say amen. Goliath, he takes down with a stone, cuts his head off with his own sword, and due to his being delivered from the giant, his whole influence with the military industrial complex and the entire nation gets pumped up. He's the most famous guy in the empire. Do you see it? Deliverance, enlargement. He's bringing you through. You're going to get through this because God has greater things for you. You will get unstuck. Even if you're stuck, he knows how to come and get you. And please hear this. God went to Solomon and said, what do you want? Anything. Ask anything, and I'll give it to you. Now, we've heard that sermon. You don't go to a restaurant, and the waitress comes and says, what would you like? And you say, well, whatever you want. She's not eating. What do you want?
Whatever the Lord wants.
No, he asked you what you want. He knows what he wants. We have to be ready to receive blessings. And we want the crumb, and he wants to give us the bakery, and we just have to shake off the smallness. Pastor Jack Hayford used to talk about the affliction of smallness. He said, beloved, some of you have a grievous demon, and it's that of smallness. It's true. Stinking thinking. Right? All right. So we need to be willing to allow God to enlarge, as Jabez prayed, enlarge our place, enlarge our mind, our heart, our expectations, our capacity to receive. And who knows what can happen, right? Please don't go into the... And please stop saying when you go to the restaurant, can I have the... Yes, you're paying. Don't ever ask a server, can I have? No. I'll have the mega burger and I'll have some soda water with lemon, please. Not, could I
please, if it's okay with you and your family, have a...
I tell Grant, stop that.
May I?
Just little things. You need to stop. Know what you want. I'm preaching to myself, by the way. You'll hear in the next few weeks that this whole sermon is preaching to me. Shut up. I have to live all this. You don't have to live all of this. I have to live all this now or later. I think I lived this in the 80s. But anywho. So every time you get past a crisis, there is there's an expansion of your influence. So the lion survived, gives him street cred with the shepherds. The bear survived, gives him street cred with his brothers. Goliath survived, gives him fame in the nation. Now, we all want the territorial expansion, but we don't want to survive what we need to be delivered from. Amen. You know? I know a guy that he didn't just drink, he drank. He had an IV of alcohol at all times in his body, at all times. He carried it around all the time. God finally delivers him, and I don't know. You know, God sometimes will just take your taste away. I used to smoke. I smoked 3 packs a day for 10 years. I lit one cigarette after another, and I loved it. The one thing God and I were clear on is I will never stop smoking, ever. If you tell me to, I'm adding another pack. That was our understanding. You say, oh my God, that sounds horrible. No, 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 it's the same as any of your other addictions. They're just as crazy.
What did he tell you? Who's he talking about?
Yeah. I loved to smoke. That was my only comfort. After I saved everyone and made everybody's life right and talked to 45 couples on the verge of divorce, at the end of the day, I would walk by myself alone, put on my earphones, listen to a book on cassette about Richard Nixon, and I would have my cigarette. And the world be damned. I'm shutting everything down. You know, it wasn't the nicotine, it was the ritual. Yeah. Nicotine's out of your body in 3 days. It was the ritual. It comforted me. It was my thing. Now, God's not after your cigarettes, he's after your heart. Get the point? Fill in the blank. But this guy, I don't know. Grant was born and I woke up one day and it was just too difficult to wash, to shower after every cigarette and try to put on cologne and hide it from you. So I just thought, you know what? I would rather die than shower one more time and put bad cologne. No, 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 not the cologne I wear today. This was 30 years ago, by the way. Don't you touch my Abercrombie and Fitch. Christmas is coming up. Come out, thou unclean spirit. This was bad cologne, Tim. This was brood or so. God help us. But it just got exhausting. You know what I mean? Sometimes just keeping something up is so exhausting that you just collapse one day. So one day, I don't know, I just didn't have a cigarette. Just didn't. I never quit. I was never delivered of it. You know, I never went to a service and went, you know, never did that. I wanted to. I really wanted to. One time a guy came up, thought I had a devil, and I said, Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, but who are you? That was, that guy, he's still running. He left Anaheim about 1992. He's somewhere around here, running in circles. Okay. But you know what? It just fell off one day. It just fell off. This guy just quit drinking. No one told him to. He didn't put a patch on. I would smoke with the patch on. Try to take my cigarette. Everybody knew it too. I mean, I'd smoke in leadership meetings. They'd have to open the windows. And I never reflectively thought about this could be a bad example. Maybe you're hurting your temple. No. I just would say, Charles Spurgeon smoked cigars. And I can't afford them. Okay. That argument is a bad argument, by the way. Don't ever use that. Okay. I'm enough bearing my soul. We have to bring this thing in and land it. Every time you get past a crisis. But you know what? Everybody's watching you fail, and everybody's watching you succeed, and everybody's watching you live, and everybody's watching you die. So it's good to just know, I can get through this. I may be stuck. That's what I mean, stuck with a capital S. Stuck in something that you can't get out of, and you don't want to, and you never will if the door opens. Be honest. God knows that. Heart of rebellion. Remember last week we talked about bitterness. You can be all churchy and look all sweet and have the sickest, bitterest heart in the entire church. Praise the Lord. And they're just, you're rotten to the core with bitterness. Well, be honest, because we see it anyway. We all see it. So here we are. Can you get out? I know you feel stuck. I know you might think that you cannot break out of this, but I've got good news for you today. You're going to get past where you are right now because God has greater things for you. Someone say amen. The lion, the bear, Goliath, loved one. And then look, Saul wants to put his armor. Saul wants to take what never worked for him and put it on David. Isn't it funny how people want you to go by the program that they've never followed? Now, it's very simple what you do in this situation. And they go on Google and they look it up. They've never done it a day in their life, but they're an expert in 30 seconds after the Wikipedia article. Well, now what you need to do is what never helped you. Is that the first suggestion? Come on, loved one. Saul's armor never helped Saul. Saul's hidden in the tent where the generals usually are. You know, they're not on the front lines. He's got to go find Saul. He goes, where's Saul? Well, he's way back there where there's no threat. And he goes into his tent, and all you see is this huge bunch of armor, right? Maybe 7 feet tall of armor. That looks impressive, doesn't it, in all the medieval films? Caesar's armor. Oh, I love your armor. But it's useless, and it didn't help Saul. And now Saul says, stand there while I dress the little boy with the armor. Loved one, don't ever try to be anyone other than you. In this season, hear me, be you. Be you. Your deliverance and the enlargement of your sphere is because you're you. And Saul's armor doesn't work. It never fit David, and it'll never fit you. And as much as you look up to a minister or whoever you look up to as a mentor in your life, you're not them, and you'll never be them because you're not supposed to be them. The anointing is on you to do you. Deliverance and enlargement. You know, there's another example. When Jesus raised the dead, the accounts that we do have mentioned, and we don't have them all mentioned. But you remember the Bible says Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5, verses 40 to 43, Jairus' 12-year-old daughter was dead about 2 hours. And Jesus comes and raises her from the dead. Then secondly, there's a boy called the widow of Nain in Luke 7, 11 through 16. There's a widow whose son is dead 24 hours, and she is destitute. Here comes the funeral part. The cortege. And in Israel, when a funeral came your way, you were obligated to join it and sort of walk with it. But Jesus didn't have time to join the funeral, so he stopped the casket, grabbed it, and raised the boy from the dead. He'd been dead 24 hours. In John chapter 11, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. You see the progression? He can raise you if you've been dead 2 minutes, 2 hours, 24 hours, 4 days. There is a sense in God's word of advancement and an expansion of territory when you go from 30-fold to 60-fold to 100-fold. That's what we need to be open to going into this new year. Amen? Amen? Deliverance and enlargement. And it's because of his strength that this happens. It's his mercy, it's his grace, and it's his time. You know, people must think I'm psychic. Well, I do that to Grant. I go into Grant and I go, Grant, where are my glasses? And he goes like this. He acts like he's cutting his wrists and putting blood on, like, chicken feathers. He goes, Dad, I don't know where your glasses are. No one knows where your glasses are. Why do you, what, do I have a sign? Well, people think I have a sign. Someone did some idiotic thing the other day, and someone came to me and said, Pastor, why did he do that? I don't know why anyone does anything, including what I just did. They think there's a sign. I don't know why people do crazy things. Do you? Well, that's clearly because when he was 12, he was like, I don't know, and nor do you. But we're not supposed to know. That's God's job. That's his business, all right? So there's progression. Do you remember in the Gospels, Jesus curses the fig tree? Remember that? Matthew 21, 21, he speaks. It's not tall. It's not really a tree. It's not really a bush. It's just sort of a little thing, but he speaks against it, and it just sort of stops. And then you go on in Luke, and in Luke 17, verse 6, he says, next, a sycamore tree. He goes, you know what? You can speak to a little bush kind of thing and have victory. And then he brings a sycamore, which is 8 feet tall and four acres of roots. And he says, you know, you have faith, the grain of mustard seed, that thing can come out. And then in Mark 11, he goes all the way to a mountain, you know? He goes from the fig tree to the sycamore tree to the mountain. There's progression. There's deliverance. There's enlargement. There's it's just a principle, loved one. And you have been going, you're going up to the next level. You're going to get out of this. You're going to get unstuck. It isn't impossible. But God, he is bringing us. And Esther 4:14 also spoke to me of the fact that in Esther's life, this was her moment of fame. This was her moment of influence. You may have lived all the decades you've lived and not yet had your moment of influence. It may be at a 7-Eleven, smiling at someone. It doesn't have to be fame in the world's eyes. It's intensive fame. It doesn't have to be extensive fame. But there is deliverance and enlargement coming for you. Hold on. Hold on. When he expands your territory, you will live to thank God for this that you've been stuck in. For this impossible, not going away thing. Remember Jesus had his disciples and they're all up on the mountain and there's glory going on and they finally go down the mountain and there's a man whose little boy has devils and throwing the boy in and out of the fire. And the father comes to Jesus and says, look, your disciples couldn't do anything. Sounds like our church. Your disciples were absolutely harmless. Can you, if you can do anything, please help. And Jesus said, I can help you. And he cast the devil out of this boy. And later the disciples sneak up at twilight and say, why couldn't we? And he said, well, this kind cometh out but by prayer and fasting. Did you know that there are things that are this kind? You scream at it, it screams back. You stare at it, it stares you down. It's winning the mad dog contest. You're stuck. It's impossible. Jesus said there are things in life that are unique. They have unique hierarchy. They have unique authority. And I'm going to have to deliver you from a lot of things, put you through a process, expand your influence before you'll be able to cast that out or to see that stronghold come down. Amen? But you won't be stuck forever, sweetheart. He's got so much for us to do. And all he wants, he doesn't want any ability other than availability. Look at all you don't have. Look at how you, look at all the talents that God gave to somebody else. But you have availability. And it's a time for deliverance and enlargement. Father, we thank you. We embrace your word. We are going to get past this. We are coming through each crisis. Our influence is going to be expanded. And we thank you. We give you the glory. We're not going to be Saul. We're not going to try to be someone else. We're not going to try to act like any other man or woman that we look up to. That's great. We learn from everyone, but we're us. We're going to be who we are with our little sling and our little stone. And we're going to endure our little torture time because you are a mighty God and you've never left us or forsaken us. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Wherever you've been, I've been there. Underneath you are the everlasting arms. You're not stuck. I'm with you. This is not impossible. I've never left your side. I've walked you into the desert. I've been with you every moment, and I'm walking you out. But I'm going to extend your influence. First the lion, then the bear, then Goliath. First Jairus' daughter, then the widow boy of Nain, the widow boy's son, and then Lazarus. Lord, we accept the progression. Loved ones, God's solutions are often strange and simple. So be open. Be open the next little while. There's no telling what he can do through you. His promotions are usually sudden and surprising, so be ready. Deliverance and enlargement in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You'll get past this by his strength. Amen. Just let his presence soak into your soul right now. Father, we bless this people. I pray for the people of God, Lord Jesus. I pray for every physical diagnosis. We don't deny facts here. We just say, but God. We pray for a release and a relief of your presence right now, Lord Jesus, healer that you are, walk in our midst. And touch every lamb on the forehead, Lord, and let your glory from the top of the head to the soles of the feet be infused into the flesh of your people right now. Lord, where we've been troubled in our emotions and in our spirit, where there's been... You are the one who stands on the very elements and says, peace, be still in the name of Jesus. You walked on the very water that was threatening to kill your people. Thank you. You're coming right now, walking on that which is threatening to kill us. And you're saying, peace, be still. We will not be frightened of lions. We will not be frightened of bears. We will not be frightened of giants. Because one man or woman with God is a majority, but God. Praise the Lord. Close your eyes right now. Just receive his love. Receive his mercy. It's going to be all right. You're going to get out of this. You're going to get unstuck. What he began, Philippians 1:6, he will finish. That's his word to you. You may be midway through, you may be the first step into it, but if he started it, he will finish it, and he does all things well. He does all things well. It'll be done with excellence. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Give him some praise. Give him some praise. That was a rhema word just for you.